As you're turning in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 26. I was praying for a little bit, and there was a couple years ago when something really started burning in my heart. And I was just thinking on, it's not what I'm going to preach tonight, but it's definitely something that's kind of rekindled, that's been brought back, I feel like, to my memory by God. And there was a message that really spoke to me years ago at a conference. And this preacher just simply preached, like, I want to really know, how much do you really love God? Like, how much do you really love God? Because it's easy to come to church and say, oh, you know, we live a Christian life. I really love God. But at the same time, he started going through some questions that just spoke to me. I remember, and there's nothing about me, I'm nothing special, but I remember it dealt with me in such a powerful way that by the time I came out from praying in the altars, that there were ladies vacuuming around me. And it's just the power of God, just it convicted me. And he started asking questions on, if you love God so much, I really want you to think back when the last time was that you told God, God, I love you, and that you meant every word behind it, and that it wasn't something that you threw around. And he said, if that's the case, he goes, too many times we have to be urged to do something. We have to be cheerleaded. We have to be pushed. Why do we have to be pushed to respond in the altars when, if we love God, it should just be coming from the bottom of our hearts? If we love God, whenever we worship, it should be something that's coming from the inside of us. We shouldn't have to be urged to have to come and pray. We shouldn't have to be urged to come Tuesday nights to pray. It should be a love that's coming from the inside. Just something that's dealing with us. If you really love God, then nobody's going to ever have to tell you to do anything. Nobody's going to have to always check up and make sure, are you okay? But there's going to be a love, and it's going to be a passion that's showing out from your heart. That is true, true love. That is true love. Let's just lift our hands and love God here for a little bit right now. Oh, Jesus. Oh God, oh God, hallelujah, Jesus' name. I will say tonight probably is going to be a little bit different for myself. However you want to paint that picture, I don't, it's not going to be very up, it's not going to be very hyper, if that's what you say is the normal for me, but it is going to be different. I do come with a burden, and it's different from a burden that I felt before, because I do feel like there is at least one person that God is really wanting to target tonight. I felt God wanting to move, and, you know, I felt like he wanted to deal with people, but I feel like there's somebody who really needs either a warning or a little help from God tonight. So Matthew chapter number 26 and verse number 33, it says, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Skipping down to verse number 47, it says, and while he yet spake, to Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priest and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus, and he said, hail, master, and he kissed him. And just for a little bit short time tonight, I want to preach anointing move here tonight to open our hearts to accept the word. God, speak to us, Jesus.
Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God, move you tonight. Open hearts. God, reach down and get inside of the hearts of us, Jesus. God, reach, Lord. Help me be able to deliver, God, in the way you need me to, I pray. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God. God bless you, and you may be seated. I first want to start off by saying living for God has been the best choice that I have ever made. I'll say I know, and some of you might think this, well, you've been raised in this. Yes, I have. I've been raised in this my whole life, but I have had my chances and my choice to leave. There has been no one who has held me at gunpoint telling me, you better go to church tonight. There's been no one sitting there just hounding me, I better see you at church tonight or else. But somewhere, sometime, in my life, I made a decision that I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I myself am going to live for God. I don't care what friends are going to do. I don't care what friends may mock me. You know, I don't even care if I start advancing, if I start trying to get my own prayer life. I no longer want to be like everybody else. I don't want to try to hold on to that. But I want to grow in my walk with God. It became a passion to me. But in these days, living for God is not huge for everyone. Even for in the world, they might say they're Christian. But we live in a very messed up world. I know that I can put my trust in God. When anything goes wrong, I know I just have to go to my knees in prayer. Because my God can answer whatever my need might be. Whatever it might be. If it might be a family problem, if it be financial issues, you put it there. I know I can go to my knees in prayer. But these people, the people in the world, they look in for other means. They look around for, I don't believe in going to church. You know, I know God loves me, but you know, and I don't serve God. God is just he's just somebody who holds rules and regulations over you. If they want to look at it like that, but at the same time, they don't see that the gods that they're serving in their world, they don't call him God because in their mind, they've painted a picture of God. He's somebody who, you know, sits up high and rules with an iron fist, but their gods might be gods of cigarettes where they're spending multiple and multiple hundreds and thousands of dollars on cigarettes to smoke upon weeks and weeks. And then it can go to drugs. They can get drug addictions. And then drugs become their gods. And then all they have to know is, I need my next dose. I got to have that next dose. That drug is controlling that person. Uh-huh. It can come to alcohol. I remember, I'm going to get the numbers wrong, but when we lived in California, there was a manager. There was a manager at a local restaurant that we went to. And he told me and Marcus specifically, I think we were 10 and 8 years old. And he said, if don't ever get to where you're drinking alcohol. He goes, it's just something that will rule your life. And I forget how many hundreds of dollars from his paycheck went to just beer for 1 week. Hundreds, 500, some $400 to $500 a week just went to it. He was being controlled by his God. It was his God that was doing it. I don't have that today. That's why I'm saying I am thankful to be living for God. Because yes, I come to church on a Sunday morning and Sunday night. I come on a Tuesday night and a Wednesday night. But at the same time, my God, I know will be there whenever I have a need. He will be there. He's closer, is a closer than sticketh closer than a brother. He is a friend like no other, like nobody can ever imagine. That's why I am so thankful today to be living for God. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. I'm going to step back and say, usually when I try to preach, I try to preach and incorporate everyone. And I do my best, but tonight I really felt a burden for the young people. I know we just had youth service Friday, but I felt something in prayer that I needed to try to specifically reach to y'all. Hopefully I can help y'all tonight. I know I was raised in this my whole life, like I said, but I am so thankful that I never had to taste anything out there in the world. I have seen the way the world affects people. Even some people, they desire riches. They desire fame. But anytime I just look over at somebody who is famous, somebody who has all the riches, they're so depressed. Something is wrong. They don't have everything they want. They thought money could buy everything, but money didn't. Money went so far, and there was still something longing. Some of them even go far as to the point they don't know what else they might could get, so they commit suicide. But that's where God is keeping us from. We don't have to be rich to be happy in God. We don't have to be famous, because we have God, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Glory to God, glory to God. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Nobody ever said that this walk with God's going to be easy. Nobody ever said. The song actually says, you know, he never promised that the cross would not be heavy. He never promised. It's not an easy walk, because like my Bible says, be sober and be vigilant. Merriam-Webster's dictionary has the word vigilant defined as watchful, wide awake, or alert. Wide awake or alert. We know that the devil, day in and day out, is seeking someone whom he may devour. There's no rest. There's no rest unless you're in the house of God. You go out, you might think it might be easier out there, but there's God you're going to serve out there. Like we heard this morning, a bad day in the house of God is better than any of the best days out there in the world. Better than any of the best days out there. In Genesis 3 and 1, the Bible says that the Satan is the most subtle beast of the field. The most subtle beast. He doesn't play games. He's not someone you need to try to play around with. You might think you can get away with something here and there, but he has years of experience over you. You think you can conquer everything, but he has years. He has multiple trophies on his wall of people he has taken down. He has multiple preachers on his wall who felt like they could get comfortable, and he's taken them down. He is the master of deception. The master of deception. When you think everything's going right, he sweeps your feet out from under you. You can't get comfortable living for God. You always got to be sober. Be vigilant. Be vigilant. Be vigilant. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. We must beware of Satan's devices. I don't know exactly who here that I'm reaching for. God didn't speak a name, but he did. There's somebody here I feel like I need to warn. In John 8 and 44, it says, "And ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him." There is no truth in him. "When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it." He is the father of all lies. There is no truth when Satan opens his mouth. There's no truth that's going to come out. He might try to woe and deceive you, but just be weary. None of that is the truth. You might start feeling comfortable in the house of God, and he says, "You've been here long enough. You're doing a good job." That ain't the truth. That ain't the truth. Don't try to sit aside. You never get too old. You never get too experienced to feel like you can just sit aside and be comfortable in the house of God. It's never the case. Never the case. In our story, in our text here today, there are two critical defining moments. They were kind of honestly in the same aspect. Two disciples, two of the 12 disciples, chosen by God himself. Judas and Peter. We know Judas's story. He was a disciple. We know Peter's story and how he went on to preach the book of Acts. He preached the day of Pentecost. He preached Acts 2:38. Peter walked on water. Peter had a significant story. But Judas, he probably and more than likely saw some of the same exact things that the other disciples saw. He saw Jesus walking on water. He probably saw Peter walking on water as well. But Judas didn't step out by faith, because this was not in Judas's heart. Peter went on, preached the day of Pentecost. Judas went on and sold the Lord, deceived the Lord. Judas, you saw so much. You saw him feed the 5,000. You saw him heal people. You saw him raise people from the dead. He saw all the same things that the other disciples saw. Peter, exact same place, saw 5,000 fed, saw the dead raised, saw the sick healed, saw the maimed walk, the deaf hear, saw all of this happen, but yet two critical defining moments. In our text, God tells Peter, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. No, Lord, I'll never do it. I'll never do it. I'll never do it. I'll never do it. But this comes a time when you've got to inspect your heart. This is why I'm saying it's going to be a little bit different, but you've got to really get inside your heart. Because either this walk with God is in your heart or it's not. So I'm saying, I don't care what you've seen. I don't care what you've experienced. I don't care how long you've been in this. And y'all being young people hasn't been as long as anybody else in here. But I don't care what it is. You can't get too comfortable sitting on an apostolic pew. You can't not get too comfortable set in your own ways. You can never think that you're too good to get up here and cry in these altars. You can never think that you're too big to get up here and give God your very best in worship. Because there's a devil out there who is seeking and to destroy you. He's seeking to wipe you out. At your age, you are at such a critical moment in life. Because now is the time that if you make your decision, you're either in or out. Because if you're out and you find yourself a family, it's going to be harder for you to get back in. But if you're set in here and you establish your roots in the church, ain't nothing is going to be able to tear you down. But you must get it in your heart. Get it in your heart. Matthew 15 and 8 says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. It is important that we live for God with our whole heart. I get scared when I see a slow digression of the young person from when they once were to now where they are now. When you slowly can see him digressing, it scares me. It makes me nervous. It makes me want to start praying. Even though I'm like, God, I see something going on. I don't know what it is, God. But I'm praying for him, Lord. Keep him. Keep him. Proverbs 4 and 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The devil is deceiving you. And you are slowly being detoured. The Bible calls it in Acts chapter, I believe, number 27. He calls it a soft south wind. You might not notice a direct change, but it's just a soft south wind that's going to set you on a detour. That's going to change your course. You're like, oh, but it's not that really big. It's not that big of a difference, Brother Micah. It's that soft south wind that's going to move you. Soft south wind. The messages that are being preached are no longer affecting you. That's a scary place to be. When there's deep moves of God, when the pastor or the evangelist is up here preaching, and all of a sudden I see there's no effect. There's nothing bothering you anymore. That's that soft south wind. That's that devil deceiving you. Hey, you don't need to respond to this. You don't need to. Your heart's fine. Just remember, you got to get it with all of your heart. You've got to live for God with all of your heart. Every message that's preached behind this desk is from God. It's coming straight down from it's coming from heaven. You must listen to the preachers. You no longer respond to the man of God. You no longer respond in altar calls like you need to. I'm not saying this for any specific person, but this is how you know when there's a soft south wind that's coming and it's detouring you. You notice yourself prayer's coming and you're not involved like you used to be. Altar call is coming and you're not up here on your knees like you used to be. All this stuff is happening. Worship is happening. And you're not clapping your hands like you used to. You're not shouting for joy like you used to. What's wrong? What's going on? It's a soft south wind that's detouring you. It's changing your ways. You never get too old for this. You never get too old to pray and weep in the altars. It's God trying to get a hold of your heart. It's God trying to tug at your heart. I'm telling you, you need to hear the word of the Lord today. You need to listen. It comes to where you're starting to look bored in church. No longer, nothing's starting to affect you. You're untouchable. The conviction that's coming down, trying to go inside of your heart, it's no longer reaching. It's that soft sound wind, south wind, young people. It's the devil trying to alter your course. We got to get it in our hearts. We got to get it in our hearts. Oh, as we're all standing here today, if we can close our eyes, bow our heads, and just start praying. Oh, God, we need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. Oh, God. I know this is a bit different, but I know Peter denied God 3 times. He denied him to two friends, to whoever thought they saw him. But the difference between Judas and Peter is Peter was struck in his heart when the rooster crowed that 3rd time. The rooster crowed that 3rd time, and the Bible says in verse 75 that he wept bitterly because he remembered what God said. He wept bitterly. Oh, it struck him so hard in his heart. Oh, God, I denied you. But Judas never had another opportunity. Judas never got another chance to repent. Judas, you saw so much. Why? And we see Judas went and he took his own life by hanging himself on a tree. 2 of the same paths, but such a different direction. 2 of the same paths, but so different. Oh, I'm telling you, young people, we can be here and we can go and worship along the side of other young people. But if you ain't got it in your heart, the devil's going to affect you with a soft south wind. If it's not buried in you for yourself, it won't be long before you're distracted, before you don't know where you've gone. You're going to wonder, how on earth did I get here? How did I get here? And you look back and you see it was just a soft south wind. Those little choices. When the devil's sitting there deceiving you, he's on your tail, young people. He's coming after you. Oh, as you're praying, I want to read you a couple more verses. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Just put all your faith in Jesus. Put all your faith in Jesus. Trust in him with all of your heart, and he will lead and guide you. It doesn't matter who's listening. It just matters what's going on inside your heart. That's all that matters. We don't need to just come up here and go through the motions once again. But this needs to be a time where we come up here and we truly, dedicate ourselves, dedicate our heart to God.